Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Monica Sharma embodies the mindful and compassionate change agent the world needs now. In Radical Transformational Leadership, she offers us all a map for action and a clarion call to become the change we want to see. Monica Sharma's voice, based on experience and conviction, strengthens the case that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, and justice, rooted in the transformational power of human compassion. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
Welcome to Dream Vision 7 Radio's network. And this is a platform for evolutionary voices for the quantum age. And thank you, Deborah, for making this program a step towards uniting humankind based on love, as you say, compassion, equity, dignity, what we really care about. Today, we have a very exciting topic. It's about ethical leadership during democracy. And it's about shaping narratives, engaging citizens and leaders both. What better time than now? And you are going to hear from two leaders who are going to stretch to work on elections. And it's not really whether they win it or not. It's whether they generate the conversations that we as citizens must engage with. Because at the end of the day, in a country that values democracy and values and has a process of voting, we citizens decide. So what's happening in the country, in any country, is about citizens, not just their leaders. So this morning in our radio program, you're going to hear two people. And we are going to talk about, you're going to hear Chebre, you're going to hear Martine, and we are going to talk about shaping democracy with integrity. Shaping democracy with integrity. Now, there's a fallacy, you know. There's a fallacy we citizens think about. And we citizens say that we have no say in this. You know, the system is so big. Everything is so organized. What can we say except this one little vote? No, we can say a lot. We can say a lot before the ballot that we cast our vote in. We can say a lot to shape conversations at home, in the communities we are. And it's truly up to us to create a nation, a world, because what happens in a nation happens in the world. We can shape a new paradigm where we truly value ethical leadership. We are able to transcend our identities with particular parties, that no matter which party we are going to work with, the one thing we work on is how does ethical leadership manifest for everyone every day? What systems must we change? What cultural norms must we shift? Who do I need to be as a leader? How do I show up? What do I commit to? So now I'm going to introduce you to our speakers. And I will be brief, and I will share different aspects of what I know about them as we move. And I'm first going to ask them to share their life's journey. And I need my glasses. I will introduce Shebre first. So Shebre Kalantari Johnson is a native of Iran and has lived in Santa Cruz County for the past 20 years. Shebre is a grant writer who also provides project coordination, strategic planning, and facilitation services to agencies working in the areas of public health, education, and social services. She's a person who actually has walked the talk you're going to hear. She's a person who knows how to transform broken systems piece by piece, not alone, but in partnership with others. And I will say more about her as we move. I'd also like to talk about Martine Watkins. And Martine is also going to be standing as a candidate for Santa Cruz City Council. Martine received her master's degree in public policy from CSU Monterey Bay and Leon and Sylvia Panetta Institute of Public Policy. She has dedicated her career to service, and she was elected to the Santa Cruz City Council in 2016 and served as a mayor between December 2018 and 2019. But that's not the main issue about Martine. What's wonderful about knowing Martine is how she used her influence to be able to shape equity, to actually put budgets where they are needed the most for people and for the most vulnerable people, our children. And to me, she didn't do it by herself. She did it in partnership. These qualities of working in partnership and yet being able to transform situations that are not working for everyone is what you're going to hear. But before you hear the details, I want to turn to Shebre Kalantari Johnson. Shebre, can you describe your life's journey so far so that people know you in a different way?
Yes, thank you so much, Dream Vision Radio and Monica, for this opportunity to participate on the show. My personal journey and my many hats has brought me to here, to where I am today as a candidate for Santa Cruz City Council. I'm a mom. I'm an immigrant, as Monica mentioned. I'm a small business owner. I'm a neighbor, a wife, and a social impact leader. I stand for equity, dignity, and compassion for myself and all others, and I strive for this in my every single day. Now, I learned the meaning of the word equity, or what is fair and unfair, what's just and unjust, at a very young age. I learned this by living in wartime post-revolutionary Iran, as a refugee traveling through Europe, as an 8-year-old navigating a new country and a new language, a new culture, and as a woman of color in today's society. I've also had many privileges, a loving family, a home, my health, my education. all of these have really shaped who I am, the path I've been on, and where I am today. I want to share one story, if I may. There's a moment that really has shifted things for my family. I was in northern Iran, where I'm from, with my dad at the beach, and a morality police came up to my dad and said to him, "You are an unfit father." And this is because his four-year-old daughter was wearing a bathing suit. I remember that moment looking at my cousin, my male cousin, and my uncle thinking, why aren't they unfit? They're wearing less than I am. That was a really pivotal moment that showed equities and inequities in my home country. Fast forward years later, another quick story is I was in fourth grade here in the United States, trying to learn English, trying to figure out my identity. And some kids were excluding me and making fun of me for my accent and calling me a terrorist. And it was all in good fun. They were my friends. But it upset me. And my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Donovan, clearly saw that. And she came up to me and said, "You know, you stay true to who you are and what you care about, and you'll be able to accomplish anything you set your mind out to." So these lessons have helped me really ground myself in my value. And when I do that, I see a clear path before me. I know the importance of community. I know the importance of partnerships for results. And this is what's helped me in my over two decades of work in public health and social services. I've brought in over millions of dollars. I've built partnerships. I've facilitated different difficult conversations. And I've supported the leadership training of hundreds of individuals across the Bay Area. I want to use my skills and experience to serve my community. Now more than ever, it's time for us to step up when our democracy is being challenged at so many levels. I believe in strong, equitable communities that are activated and engaged and create solutions that uplift everyone here, so that all Santa Cruzans can live with equity and dignity. So that's what's brought me to this moment.
Thank you so much, Shebre. It's so inspiring. And the way you thread that journey, the way you combine your expertise, your professionalism with healthy politics is amazing. And that you can highlight some of the cultural norms in a way that's not polarizing. You know, politics today needs to stop being us versus them. It needs to be a non-polarizing space. Mm-hmm. The fact that in every single culture, sexism and putting women and those of color down, or whatever is that expression. I mean, and the fact that your father is and was a caring parent who brought you up just like he brought up his son. Or to me, parenting in cultures that are so into son preference, as where I was born in India. So this work is about conscious, ethical parenting. Mm-hmm. This work is about your fourth grade teacher, Miss Donovan. Every teacher has a choice to support what you and Martin are burning for. And it is this engagement. And what did she do? She knew that she needed to support you in being who you are. And right today, when you run for elections, that teacher has shaped integrity. Mm-hmm. So for me, to every teacher who's listening, you have a choice to support ethical leadership. So for me, that's where it begins. Thank you so much, Shebre. It's so inspiring. I'm going to invite you, Martin, and now to talk about your journey and knowing and experiencing your presence, your courage to stand up, not as a oppositional force, but as an enrolling force into a world of equity. Wow. Over to you, Martin.
Thank you, Monica. And Shebre, thank you so much for inviting me to participate and for your story, Shebre. It's really a powerful message. It's so important for everybody to hear. So my name is Martin, as Monica shared, and I am a biracial woman, and I grew up in an affluent town where there were probably less than five or so kids that look like me, and that would be including my brother, my older brother, Justin. And, you know, growing up in a biracial household, I learned also at an early age just the importance of experience and the relevance of skin color as you walk our planet, and how skin color leads. And my mom grew up in Los Angeles, and my dad grew up in Oakland, California, and they met up in the Bay Area at a time when very few people were interracial marriages, right? And moved down to Santa Cruz to have a different life. My dad was the first African-American superintendent of schools in the California, in the state of California, when he was elected. And I was, you know, my experience growing up biracial, because I don't look very dark, was always very interesting, because often people would make jokes or slights or comments, not knowing my racial background. And for me, growing up that way, it was really telling what people will say and do when they don't know kind of who's around, but also just the irrelevance of race and the work that needs to be done. And so sort of a story similar to Shebra's with my dad, when I would think I was about 8 or so years old, we used to go for these long walks, and I would bike, and he would carry up my bike this really steep hill near their house that they still live in, actually out in Aptos. And I remember him saying, you know, as a woman of color or whatever you are, you are going to have to work harder. And I just want you to know that. And I remember that thinking, that's not fair. Why do I have to work harder? But the truth is he's right, you know, and we have to change that. And not that we don't want to work harder for what we believe in is good and right and the important things that need to be done. But we start from a different playing field to the theme of Shebra, which is about equity. And that has really driven my journey. I got a undergraduate degree in legal studies. I always thought I'd be a lawyer. I went to work for a law firm, and it was not for me. And I worked in education, my first job, trying to support getting our students in our South County who had been expelled back into school. And I knew social justice work was for me. And I received and pursued a degree in a master's in public policy, as you shared, Monica. And that really, really provided me with the tools, I think, to apply my values, which is what you shared, in that, you know, we can talk about all the policies that we care about or all the values we care about, but how does that transform into action? And what does that look like for longevity? And so I'm very proud of the Children's Fund and other initiatives I've been able to champion in my first term on City Council. And I left saying, before I decided to run again, that the best thing would be is if everybody found value to this, because it's got to live beyond my time. I can only champion it for a short window of time while I represent the council, but there's been hundreds of mayors and council members before me, and there'll be many, many more after. So how do we embed this as a community value that's lasting? Excuse me. And with that, really drives my interest in wanting to continue to serve, to make Santa Cruz the most healthy, the most equitable, the most sustainable community for our future generations to inherit. And I've had the privilege and honor of working with Shebra on an initiative called Health in All Policies. And I want to use that lens of building the most healthy community as I move forward in the next 4 years, and hopefully alongside with Shebra. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martine. I don't know what else to say, but so inspiring. You know, and you bring in issues that are global, just as Shebra did, you know, the people who make a difference in your life. And the value of parents who stand living equity every day of their lives. Because how children grow up in their homes determines how they work in society. And to me, you know, in the book I wrote, there are examples of women, men, and other genders who have supported their families, not just because they love their families and given them stuff and great education, but truly nurture the citizen who's kind, the citizen who cares, the citizen who one day will create the society that's equitable. So there were a couple of other points you brought in. And the reason I want to elaborate them again is that what you bring in and what Shepre brings in is not just for the US and for Santa Cruz County. I was born in one of the largest democracies in the world, India. And what you say here today matters to people worldwide. And I want to highlight the two things you brought up. The issues of racism have the same dominating, exploitative features as does tribalism or casteism or classism. It's our need to be othering and better than others at any cost. And so for me, that at any cost to dominate is something you're bringing up. And I think parents nurture a person like you or Shepre who grow up with their full potential manifesting. The second piece you brought up that was also brought up by another speaker on this radio series was the power of learning from teachers in subjects like public policy. It's not the subject, it's the teacher behind that subject. And to me, that they sow seeds of change because they stand in equity is what matters, because public policy, like the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it could be an interpretation that's so intellectual that no one is stimulated to respond. But I want to bring in a third dimension of academia, and that's what I'd like you to elaborate on as well, is that there's a different kind of learning beyond policy and strategy, and that's the learning of self. And that's the work that Shepre referred to as the work of leadership that she has cultivated. The leadership that has the courage to stand in their values with justice and compassion together. Justice without compassion is harsh. And justice is what we are working up about. There's a lovely quote in a book, Just Mercy, by Brian Stevenson, who said, you know, the opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. The opposite of equity or inequity is not equity. It is really justice that manifests with compassion for everyone. And so I want to be able to have you share that dimension of your story very soon. Thank you so much for your stories. They're not stories. They are moments of integrity. They are moments of equity. It happens in every action. And so we will pause for a moment and we'll take a short break. And thank you for listening in. And we will all be back, Shepre, Martin, and I, at the end of this break. Thank you.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love. Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda.
Welcome back. With me, there is Martine Watkins and Shebra Johnston-Kalantari. And she is Martine. Martine is going to start the conversation because your stories, your moments of equity were so inspiring. I want you to relate it to what's going to happen today and how you want democracy to be a process of enduring and equitable change. It's not just democracy, it's democracy as a process of enduring and equitable change, where dignity of every human being, whether we agree with their politics or not, is upheld, and where equity, whether it is one party or another that we belong to, it doesn't matter, we uphold equity. We speak truth. It doesn't matter where we are. So, you know, the word belong to a party is more really related to the US, where there's a very strong identity that people have with the party they work with. It's not like this everywhere. Because I remember in 1977, when there were strategies that were not accepted by people and the Congress was in power, it was just because of those strategies that they were voted out. It wasn't what party did I vote for last time. It's about upholding equitable leadership, upholding ethical leadership. So Martine, what is your thinking about pathways where democracy is the change, but a particular kind of change, a change where everyone lives with dignity, where there is equity, and where we are living, activating our knowing of compassion, where freedom is true liberation and the pursuit of happiness, where freedom is not interpreted as little things that we like, which is preference. We all can have preference, but this is not about preference. We all have a choice. But freedom is a very profound space. Freedom means we live without bias, that we are not attached to our identity. We are not attached to material wealth. Freedom is true joy of our spirit, the best in us. That's freedom. And in our language, Karuna is compassion, Sanskrit. So freedom is mukti. Mukti is being non-biased, discerning, not judging. Mukti is freedom from hatred. Mukti is freedom from the need to dominate. Need to dominate is so ego-based. So this discourse that you will hear is about true freedom through democracy for equitable and enduring change, where we are truly free. Doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter how rich we are in terms of dollars, because it doesn't mean that if I have more money, I'm actually richer in spirit. So over to you, Martine.
Thank you, Monica. You know, I sort of reflecting on my journey when we were talking earlier, I have to say my journey and the process of wanting to run for office really came, it was really helpful in grounding of who I am. And come, when you come from that place, I think people feel connected to you. And when you also come from that place, you wonder of how you can impact change. And that's where I found my journey just sort of eventually led me to wanting to serve on council. And one of the things is when we feel so out of control, whether it be around climate change or state policy or federal policy or international policy or all the things that just feel so much bigger than us, we can do what we can also beginning at the local level. And that I feel is so powerful for anybody in the world. And when you find what your role is in democracy, when you find what your role is in local but global impacts, there's so much power to that. And I continue to be inspired and to learn more about all that we're able to do at a local level, specifically as it relates to climate change. And one of the things that was really just profound to me was just how much cities contribute to carbon emissions. And so if cities are contributing to carbon emissions at the local level, how that impacts our global experience. And that matters, right, for everybody. So for me, I am so honored to be able to serve at the local level and to really champion global initiatives. And I'm just going to share a few examples that I feel really grateful to have participated in, but also inspires me to want to continue to do more. And, you know, when I was mayor, I was able to go to the U.S. Conference of Mayors and advocate that we have climate justice, that if we've known that big oil has known about the carbon emissions and the impact that they've had on our climate change for decades, and they're saying that they don't want to have to pay for any of the impacts that are happening in local communities with infrastructure breaking and big storms, and it doesn't matter where you reside in our planet, you're experiencing it, that they didn't want to have to pay for that. So how do we come together and advocate for climate justice, right? And then, you know, also thinking about how, as we move forward with developing policies, how are we doing so in a way that's envisioning a healthy community for all? And that is one of the best the most proud initiatives that I feel that I was able to be a part of and champion, which is an initiative called Health in All Policies. And it's a bit of an academic framing, but basically what it is it's saying, how do we as government who make decisions that impact people's health, how do we take health, equity, and sustainability into the decisions that we make? And we need to use that in our lens of decision-making because that's the impact we have. And I say this because, you know, although it's an academic framework, what it really is about is saying a healthy community is somewhere everybody wants to live. Doesn't matter, right? You want clean air, you want clean water, you want a place for your kids to go to school safely, you want them to get to school safely, you want to have an opportunity to grow across your lifespan, you want to have a way to get to work without having to drive, or maybe you can walk to get healthy foods, right? All the characteristics of a place that you want to be. And then if you think of what an unhealthy community is, you know, what that looks like sometimes in the United States is blight or air pollution, generational trauma, crime. The most healthy foods are corner stores with liquor stores with very few fruits and vegetables, right? And what that means is where you live can dictate your life outcomes and your life expectancy. And so what we've seen in the data is these characteristics lead to health outcomes for people. And so when I think about local democracy and how this initiative underwent in Santa Cruz, it was one in which everybody contributed to the vision, that we talked to people of all age ranges, all business sectors, all nonprofit sectors, all genders, right? What is your vision for a Santa Cruz that's healthy and equitable? And we co-created what that is. And it goes back to the theme I think I spoke of earlier, which is this isn't something that needs to live with me as one leader. This is something that needs to live and exist as a community that we share. And you have to put in the time and the work to engage your citizens, to engage others, to make that possible, right? And that's that co-creation, that's that democracy of all. And I am grateful for my journey because it's informed my approach. And I continue to learn and evolve and reflect and use some of the tools, Monica, that you've provided with, you know, forgiveness, particularly without condoning. And those help you refine as an individual and continue to try to do good. So that's a little bit about, I guess, my take on what democracy as part of this bigger picture of change.
Thank you so much. The humility, Martine, you have when you say, I try to do something that's good, and I know you've done so much that's good. And I think it's Yoda who said, do or do not, no try. Yes, and that's how it is. What you do today in today's world locally is global. And there are a couple of things that you brought up that has great relevance during COVID-19 times. And that is that whenever there is a natural disaster, whenever there is an epidemic, we have patterns that are set previously that actually accentuate the inequities. In fact, elections is very similar, because what we do between elections is more important than the event of the election itself. Because that's how citizenship and democracy matures, both for the leaders of a country as well as citizens. So for me, the word trauma-inducing systems instead of just individual collective trauma is so important, because then we can prevent trauma for the future. And to me, when you bring in the issues of climate change, that people are not willing to look at communities, that money drives our motivation, whether that's in a community or it's global, that our attachment to that space, and that money becomes a proxy for describing power and status. We've created a world where we consider money to be the status symbol of true wealth and prosperity, and it's not. It is actually today an erosion. It's become a way in which we are blind to what equity really means, as if money and equity cannot live together. Of course it can. And that's what you've done. And I believe that the mindset that refused all of us, refused to see how all of us were responding to the climate change issue, whether it's those who were promoting oil or those who were at home. It's the same mindset that actually looks at people when people are not accessing what they need to, for example, health, for example, food, for example, healthy food. And that's what you bring up. So worldwide, the issue is today, you know, do we have healthy food for everyone? And there's something in the mindset of humans that when we know 22,000 people, mostly children, died worldwide before coronavirus arrived, we knew there were 22,000 people died. But we didn't care, no, because most of them did not have money, and they did not have the proxies of social status. So there's something that when it affects all of us, then we wake up. And I think one of the changes that you are bringing in is how do we wake up during every day, and how do we embrace everyday life as part of enduring equitable political change. Thank you. You know, Shepra, you have a lot of points to add, and I would like to invite you into the same space. How are you going to use this democratic process and your being a candidate to establish new narratives that are about equitable, enduring democracies and change?
Great. Thank you. I want to first acknowledge something else that that Martine has done that responds to your question is fostering leadership in others and creating space for others to step up. And she's done this for me. I've had the privilege to work with Martine on several initiatives, most recently the Health and All Policies, as well as working on our county early care and education strategic plan. So that is one way of creating authentic, creating democracy with integrity and creating a transparent, authentic way for citizens to get involved is to create space and foster leadership in others. So that's something I've done through my community organizing work, and I will apply the same processes and skills when I am an elected official, is to really start with what I care deeply about and open up the space for others to access their greatness, what they care deeply about, and listen deeply. And when I do that, when we do that together, we can identify what's missing. We can identify the opportunities to enact change, and we can identify the largest impact that we're working towards. One specific project that I worked on in which I was able to apply these concepts and apply, starting with values, starting with what I care deeply about, is the project that I worked on youth homelessness here in Santa Cruz County. We were 1 in 10 across the nation to be awarded a very competitive grant to address youth and young adult homelessness. And one of the things that it was the Department of Housing and Urban Development, so government entity. And one of the things that they said is that what stood out for us is that you were clear about the problems you had to solve, the impacts and long-term outcomes you're striving for, the systems and cultural norm shifts that you had to address in order to get there, and the values and principles that are embedded and are the driving force of this initiative. And as part of this process, we had to engage in a year-long community planning process to create our strategic plan. And so here is where how the process and how we do things is important. What we did is we invited youth and young adults who were either currently homeless or had previously experienced homelessness. And that really was part of the shift we were trying to create, is that youth and young adults as feared and ignored to youth and young adults as community members who are valued and who can contribute to community solutions. So they were right along there with us. We co-created, we partnered, from the developing agendas together to leading work groups to creating engaging activities for our community meetings. And there was real authentic voice. There was real youth leadership. And the outcomes, the interim outcomes, were that they got invited to speak to the Board of Supervisors, to share their experiences, to share their solutions and ideas. The narrative has shifted. There's been a lot of media stories that show not these are homeless, but what have they accomplished and what do they envision for our community? And we've seen outcomes in a few short years, and 2 short years, more youth are housed, more youth are employed, youth are in college, and youth are the leaders in our community. They're getting jobs with these initiatives, they're serving on boards, and their voice is being heard. So I just want to share that as an example, because it really weaves in a lot of the concepts that Martine spoke to. It's about engaging all citizens. We all have a role. We're all public servants. And we do that through opening space, through starting with our values, through allowing others to access their greatness, and co-creating, partnering for the results, partnering to really create outcomes that will lead us to a healthy, thriving community.
Thank you so much, Shebre. I know that we will talk about this in summary, like takeaways. But there are 2 points that I'd like to highlight as a segue into our next short discussion. The first is fostering leadership. And I think you see that, Shebre, because you do it yourself. And what's different about the way Martine and you foster leadership, it begins with universal values that people stand in, It's different fostering leadership to sort of continue with a particular ideology. You don't begin with ideology. You begin with where people are, where youth are, where human beings can be if you allow people to express who they are, but we don't allow them. We don't create platforms that are truly transformational. We create platforms where we want agreements to how we think. And that's the difference in the way you and Martine foster leadership. The second piece is how you engage citizens. You engage citizens to make planning not a shelf document, a document that remains in the shelf, but as a process towards implementation, because it's co-creation from what matters to people deep down. They own the process in a healthy way, not as an exclusionary process. So we'll talk more about that. Thank you so much. Do keep tuned in after our break, and we will be back with you.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity sourcing our love.
Welcome back. It's delightful to be with you because we are enjoying listening to each other, even though we've listened to each other so long. Why? Because every time we speak from our heart and head combined, and we see different things. The ability to see something new every moment, grounded in what I deeply care about. That's who Martine and Shebre are. That's why they are able to hold forgiveness and not condone what's not working. Fantastic work of Fred Luskin. And it's something that has shaped the way we forgive, but we don't continue with what's not working. Because forgiveness can be misunderstood as, okay, we've forgiven, so let's continue. No, it's not that space. And learning the templates and tools that allow us to look at integrity as wholeness rather than the morality, like, you know, why are you wearing this swimsuit at the age of 4 in Iran? That wholeness is very vital. That wholeness came through when Shebre laid the foundations of true freedom, which is when every citizen, every leader, every youth anchor themselves in their own greatness, that is their inner capacity. And that's the summary we want to hear, because it's not about fostering leadership. To work with me, my way, with my ideology, It's fostering leadership that can inquire into incongruences that will happen in any system. It's the leadership that's not defensive. It's the leadership that can transcend fears. It's the leadership that's anchored with everyday tools and templates that we learn to practice in our work, whether I'm in politics or I am at home. So I'll turn to you, Shebre, for a few summary points, the takeaways you want me to hear and everyone else to hear.
Thank you. When I ground myself in what I care deeply about, equity, dignity, and compassion for myself and everyone, and I still myself, I'm able to approach my life and my work with intention. I'm able to listen differently. I'm able to invite others into that space and activate partnership for results. And this is what I wish to do as a city council member. I wish to invite community members to get engaged. It's the everyday conversations and it's the everyday actions that will help us create the shifts here in our local community that will impact the nation. Now is the moment that we have to see community engagement and civic involvement in a different way. We can't tolerate what's been happening over the last 4 years. And I want to invite those in our community and across the nation and globe, actually, to get involved and to get engaged. Start with what you care deeply about. Identify the shifts that you see are necessary. Here in our community, it's shifting from viewing issues as one-sided to generating holistic, inclusive discussions and solutions. It's about shifting from an us versus them mentality to holding multiple perspectives. Identifying the largest impact and being able to move forward with these perspectives to create enduring solutions. It's about how we do our work, from siloed, fragmented, to really partnering, really working together, really listening to each other. Martine shared some examples of how that's happened already in the city. I've shared some examples with the youth homelessness work that I've done. So I'm inviting our community members, I'm inviting the community members across the globe to find your entry point, to start with the everyday interactions, to ground yourself in what you care deeply about, invite others to that space, identify together the solutions that are fit for your community, and let's start there. And when we start there, it'll have a global impact. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Monica.
Thank you, Shebre. It's been wonderful listening to you. I think I should move my home from Texas to Santa Cruz County because of you and Martine, but I don't think I'm planning to do that right now.
We would love that.
To move, but it's that's the kind of leader I want in my county. The one who doesn't have all the answers to everything, the one that's willing to re-examine strategies that you may put in place. Not because you were wrong, but because you learned something new. Martine, what would you like to share?
Gosh, well, I think I'll start by saying when I first ran for office in 2016, I had a really hard time asking for fundraising. And I remember thinking, you know, there's so many things that you can give your money to. A campaign feels, you know, hard with politics. And what I've learned now is that when you vote for somebody and you contribute to somebody, you're contributing to their values that you share. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that when we think about how we select our leaders. Mm-hmm. And what that for me is how do we as leaders authentically show who we are? So when you are voting for us or you're encouraged by a leader, you want to know that they're who they say they are. And that to me is a really powerful place of coming from these common values that we all share. I will say that what I believe COVID-19 has shown is what happens in Wuhan, China impacts everybody in the entire globe. So we're so interconnected as a species, and we have to remember our freedom is interconnected. And so how we use this opportunity to think about what the health solutions are as really these climate solutions, because what I feel COVID has shown is our susceptibility as a species, right? And it's almost a bit of a practice run for, I think, how we can come together as a globe for some of the other bigger challenges that are going to be impacting us. So how are we rebuilding for resilience? How are we handling what we have before us today, but rebuilding for a more resilient tomorrow? And I, as a council member at my local level, want to work with the community to think about how are we thinking about a green economy and creating good green paying jobs? How are we investing in clean air and clean water and infrastructure and walkable communities and leaving a zero carbon footprint, if you will, but also uplifting those who we've left behind? And that's that social justice component. So I feel, as difficult as this moment is in time, how incredible we have this opportunity to propel transformation that will lead to a more equitable future for our planet. So, like Shebra, I'm very grateful to know you, Monica, and to know Shebra, and to be part of this conversation. And it's an honor to be able to speak to you all and to the listeners who enjoy you as much as we do. And you always have a home here in Santa Cruz when you're ready. We'll teach you to surf.
Thank you so much, Martine. You know, this whole issue that you bring in, that every adversity for a human being individually, I'll either break down or I will grow. And it's similar for society. We know that. It's psychology 101. And the way in which you bring in the fact that this COVID epidemic is a crisis, it's an opportunity to build resilience, not just do something for the moment, not just talk about it, but actually do something. So for me, that is a vital part of building democracy as well, because it's what I do every day as a citizen, that I actually connect the dots. I learn to think differently, not just what's superficially presented, but know myself and what I need to know. So for me, with these wonderful summary thoughts that both of you have, I want to thank you, Shebra, for joining us. I want to thank you, Martine, too. And to you, Debra, for creating these opportunities for us. And to you, Bob, for making this happen. So I look forward to our next radio program.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.